Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. New Zealand's most popular non-Hobbit-based export has got to be the music of Neil Finn. His band, Crowded House, had a huge hit with the song Don't Dream It's Over back in 87, but he also led the earlier synth-pop band Split Enz with his brother Tim and began releasing solo albums in the 90s. His new album is called Dizzy Heights, and it's full of lush and at times almost orchestral pop. Neil Finn and his sizable band are here to play some of those new songs for us live on Soundcheck. This one is called Pony Ride.
Can you downtown?
Neil Finn and his band with a live performance here on Soundcheck of a song called Pony Ride, which appears on Neil's new CD called Dizzy Heights. Let me introduce you to the members of the band. Neil, of course, singing and playing guitar. Sharon Finn playing the bass. Andrew Everding at our piano. Alistair Deverick behind the drum kit. Jesse Sheehan on electric guitar, some backing vocals. Lisa Tomlins on backing vocals, and Jimmy Metherell playing acoustic guitar. Neil Finn joining me at the microphone. So,
well, hi.
You're Liam Finn's dad.
I am. Yeah, and proud of it.
Yes, Liam and your other son, Elroy, both sounded in great form when they performed here in the studio just a few weeks ago.
I heard it, and it sounded magnificent.
Now, you, your wife Sharon, your sons Liam and Elroy are all together on the record.
We are, yeah. It was just a nice opportunity that everyone had some time. We were recording in upstate New York, which is not that far from Brooklyn, where the boys are holed up.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon had already ingrained herself in all the songs by playing some ripping bass lines on my demos. So it seemed kind of obvious, and really after all, when I thought about it, despite the fact it was my family, it was also the hottest band on the planet, you know.
Where is Brother Tim? Is he involved at all?
Not directly, but he's back home, and we're writing some songs together too at the moment. There is a family supergroup on the way, because his two kids have got really amazing, they're very talented as well. We did a Christmas show just before in Auckland. Where the whole family got out and performed, and it was a bit of a scorcher, actually.
Wow. Yeah. So there have been occasions where all of the various Finns have...
That was the first occasion, that particular one, but I would say it's quite likely to happen. I think we make really good music together. That's the main thing. I think if it was just family, a family thing, it would seem a little... not cliche is not the right word. There's not that many of them. But
well, I mean, here in New York, though, we have the Wainwright/Roach family, you know.
That is a dynasty now.
Yes.
But do they actually perform all together?
Well, you know, various combinations around the holidays.
That's right. Yeah. So around the holidays. Well, we're now, yeah, I'm not making any grand claims because these things have to find their own way. But yeah. It was kind of exciting.
How did this happen? I mean, did you and Tim grow up in a musical household?
Grew up in a household where music was very, very much loved and appreciated in every party that ever happened, and there was quite a few of them. My mother was Irish Catholic, and my dad is a huge jazz fan. So every party that had, there was singing. There was an old guy called Colin O'Brien who knew every song on the piano. He was fed a constant supply of cigarettes and whiskey, and he played all night. Didn't live a long time, unfortunately, but he
but lived well
piano.
While he was there.
He lived well, and he actually gave a lot. But it meant that, and you were expected to do an item, you know, like everyone had an item to do the same song every time.
Like a session where everyone contributes a song, that sort of thing?
More or less, yeah. Like my uncle would always sing Shake Hands with a Millionaire, and my auntie would sing Stormy Weather, and Peggy Dawson would, that was Peggy's one. But, you know, that you get the idea. Tim and I would drag forward, and we'd sing Jamaican Farewell or... motorcycle genre song Terry. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
No, I don't think so. Is that maybe that's a Kiwi thing?
No, I think it was an international hit at the time. It was one of those
time, I guess.
Motorcycle kind of tragic motorcycle songs. When I was 4 years old,
like,
I didn't really
like
understand
a leader
it.
Of leader of the pack kind well, of
exactly
thing?
One of those. Yeah.
All right. I was speaking with Neil Finn formerly of Split Enz, but also the Finn Brothers. Crowded House is still around as well. There's the solo career.
It's up on blocks in the garage at the moment, Crowded House, but it's still looking pretty fine.
So do you write differently depending on which project you know this is going to be for?
Not really. When I'm in the writing phase, it's just a matter of doing some imagining and getting over the hump of looking at the page and going, well, what do I do? How do I do this? And because it remains a mystery after all these years. And then once you start, you get a thread going and you start getting interested in the differences that start coming along. And for me, anyway, I start wondering about how differently it could be presented, which is why I've been a little restless and there's been all these incarnations.
Well, you know, this album has some sounds on it that I think maybe, earlier Neil Finn records have not. I mean, there's mm-hmm. there's like all that production on Better Than TV. There's the kind of cinematic sound of Dive Bomber.
Yeah.
The beginning of White Lies and Alibis has some really interesting textures to
it. Sure.
Was that intentional?
Well, if all music is intentional in its accidental origins. But we just...
What did that mean?
Well, actually, if you think about it, I think it might have made sense somewhere.
Like there's really something to unpack there. That's actually a pretty...
How long have you got, John? In the sense that it's a combination of accidents and then a lot of kind of looking at it and examining it, throwing it up in the air, reassembling it. I'm a great believer in endurance and the element of struggle in making music. And sometimes that means you have two or three days where things just don't fit together. But if you keep going, you have little flashes of inspiration, and you can't get one without the other, I don't believe, anyway. This album, I was working with Dave Fridman, who's well known for his sonic adventurism. And
here in the States, yeah.
Yeah, and internationally, really. And we've talked about doing something for a long time. And these songs seemed, I'm interested in extravagant arrangement at the moment, the adding of strings. I haven't done a lot of it over the years, having been in a relatively conventional four or five piece band lineup. So this was an opportunity to find out what new sounds could be applied, and it's given me a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there's a much wider palette that you're drawing from.
It is, yeah. In an ideal world, I would have taken a 9-piece string section with me. I appeared in New York late last year at Poisson Rouge, with a 9-piece string section, but without a band. I could afford one or the other. So at the moment, I've got the full band. We could make a pretty damn big sound, though.
Yes, as you just did with that song, Pony Ride. The album's called Dizzy Heights. Mm-hmm. For someone like me who has a fear of heights, even a pony ride is a dizzy-making event. But, I mean, how literally do we take that title here?
Well, it's interesting. You live in New York having a fear of heights, because that's quite an anomaly, isn't it? Well, I think it's me musing about the fact, and it was after the fact I realized a lot of the songs on the album were, in one way or another, kind of connected with the idea of being in elevated states or seeking elevated states, and the dangers and thrills attached, but also the spills that are always there and potentially, are going to strike. So, and I've seen some heady heights in my day, and I've seen some struggle and, humbling circumstances. So, yeah, it's a series of musings on all of that. But apart from anything else, we also saw these boys diving off rocks when we were on holiday last year into the ocean, and it was our daily view. There was and it just seemed to strike a chord in me as that idea that from an early age, we're all seeking that slight hint of our own mortality as we leap into the unknown. It's a matter of setting parameters for yourself and not risking your neck completely. But that's a thrilling way to live your life, is where you're taking chances.
Mm. Well, this next song called Strangest Friend is another new one from the record Dizzy Heights. How does this, where does this fit into that kind of narrative?
Well, Strangest Friends is kind of a twin thread, which is loosely connected with the idea of visitations by aliens and the relationship between performer and audience.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want to play it for us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Neil Finn is here in the Soundcheck studio with his band. Let's hear a live performance of this song, Strangest Friend, from the new album called Dizzy Heights.
Okay.
This could be a chance to see with my own eyes a carousel or a diamond bell, a silence beside me in the sky.
There'll be colorful flags
That is Neil Finn and the band live on Soundcheck. Strangest Friend is the name of that song from Neil Finn's new album called Dizzy Heights. Let's hear another song. This one is called Flying in the Face of Love. Flying in the Face of Love, another live performance from Neil Finn and his band here in the Soundcheck studio. Once again, Neil singing and playing guitar. Sharon Finn on bass, Andrew Everding playing keyboards, Alistair Deverick behind our drum kit, Jesse Sheehan on electric guitar, backing vocals, Jimmy Metherill, acoustic guitar, backing vocals, and Lisa Tomlins, some percussion and backing vocals. Neil Finn and the band, the new album is called Dizzy Heights. And Neil, you were talking before about how you know, you've had a career that's seen very high highs and some humbling bits as well. When you're on hold and you hear a Crowded House song come on while you're on hold on the phone, is that an elevating experience or a humbling experience?
It's an annoying experience. Yeah, only because I think I got a little bit upset about it, actually, because I was on hold with Telecom in New Zealand for about an hour and a half one day recently. There was some major dilemma going on, but I actually decided to wait. And I think there was three Crowded House songs came on and a couple of songs I played piano on. And I thought, you know, they probably think they're doing a favor to people, but actually people are going to associate Crowded House now with being annoyingly on hold. So I almost felt like writing a letter and say, please refrain from using our songs. but yeah, I mean, look, songs travel in really mysterious ways, so I've actually given up on having any real expectations of where to expect them and where to hope for them, and just glad that they're out there somewhere and having a life.
Well, now, of course, the thing is you want to get your songs on TV shows and commercials and stuff like that. That's the brass ring that everyone's looking to grab, it seems.
Well, it's the only certain income for a lot of people now, because records are so accessible to download for people, and with things like Spotify around, really making an absolute squillion out of artists and stuff, and not really handing back much back in return. You've got to, people have to live, and musicians have to write and work. So, there's plenty of opportunities out there. A lot of people fighting for those spots, though.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of references on the new record to television, including a song called Recluse, which refers to watching Game of Thrones.
Very well timed at the moment.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not anti-Game of Thrones either, particularly. I just kind of ran out of steam watching it. There was too much. You had to invest too much in remembering all the relationships and all that, and I kind of fell asleep in too many episodes. But I know many people who are, and in fact some of the tour party went to the tour bus the other night to catch it after the show on, you know, on demand, the first episode. I believe it was brutal as ever. And I don't know if there
what a surprise.
There may not have been enough nudity for some members of the band, but particularly from Khaleesi. But apparently she's got a new contract, which she won't take her clothes off. So,
is that true?
Well, that's what I heard. It might be myth. Is that true, Jimmy?
Yeah.
So we know who we're talking about now who was disappointed.
All
that's
right.
Jimmy.
So Jimmy Metherill is the Game of Thrones nut.
Particularly on the Khaleesi
bus.
Nut, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned falling asleep. It's interesting you should do that because, in fact, we are beginning here on Soundcheck to gather answers for our Sleepy Time music project. So let me ask you, Neil, if you're going to sleep at night, what music will, you know, help you get to sleep?
Well, actually, Sati is the best one of all, but I actually should be employing that recently because it's been quite tricky to sleep at the moment. The hours have been odd. But, yeah, Erik Satie is a beautiful thing to go to sleep to, just very, very quietly in the background. I actually have it on a little playlist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other things, too, but that one, it works a treat.
Well, so the late 19th century Frenchmen, those gymnopédies, those very simple piano pieces.
Extremely simple piano pieces that are just deeply moody, and, you know, they're a little bit melancholy, but they're just very restful.
Huh. I could see that working really well for many people, I would think.
I would think, yeah. And in a city like New York, particularly, where there's so much energy flying around, he was deeply inspiring people like Brian Eno, I dare say.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you've got to make your own beauty in the privacy of your own home in order to escape the crazy energy out there.
Neil Finn, the album is called Dizzy Heights. The band has sounded great here
Thank
in the
you,
studio
that
today.
That was a good session. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, that really was fun.
And Jesse almost sort of took the jet plane off there in one of those songs. That was good fun.
Well, guys, thank you all for, and I use the term guys in the gender non-specific way.
Yep.
Thank you all for coming in and playing for us. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been fun to be here. Thank you, John.
This is Soundcheck.
Come on, baby, I want your love to be based in real life, better than TV. What was before the action of desire becomes a deeper need, comfort, inspiration.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile apps for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.
If there is a chance, if there is a chance that you wanted to dance, that you wanted to sing, don't die wondering.
above me. Don't leave your best aside.